Hey, it's Courtland Sutton, wide receiver for the Denver Broncos, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in.
Landing the plane in the swamp.
No, that was creative choice.
Oh, that was art?
That was art. I went growl. The art. Totally by choice.
The art does what the art wants to do.
See, right, Brooks, Mike? Is right. I was going to say, whatever you do, if you throw, oh, that was art. No one can say anything.
Oh, yeah. You ever seen a bad performance art? No, because it's not for you.
Yeah.
It's for them.
You didn't like it? It's not for you.
You don't get it.
Yeah, then you hit him with that.
Oh, yeah, you don't. This is, you didn't get it, idiot.
What did you see?
I know that some of you appreciate you sharing your concern for my voice. I mean, I was a little under the weather, lost my voice, worked to get it back. Didn't sound great on the old mock draft episode. But the real reason that I didn't have it is I sold most of my voice as an NFT.
Oh.
So I actually don't own the rights anymore.
Like a half Ursula?
Right, so I'm very wealthy because it went for big money, obviously.
Clearly, they took it away from me.
But I don't actually own it anymore. My voice is the possession of somebody else.
Here's the problem, Andy. We're in the middle of recording over 100 player profile videos for the Ultimate Draft Kit, and you're going to need to buy that back. You're going to need to buy that back right
now. I license my own voice from this person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
As long as there's a deal.
Yeah, Tuesday, May 25th. Welcome into the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Thank you for joining us. If you're brand new, that introduction was about all you need to know about us. But we are here to help you win your fantasy football leagues. And we are year-round, and we are getting you ready for 2021. It is a very exciting time because, as Jason alluded to, we do have the Ultimate Draft Kit, which is coming out in 1 week. This is our baby, our pride and joy. A lot of work from a lot of people has been poured into this and will continue to be throughout the offseason.
Yeah, this is not like a magazine where you get it and it's fun and it's cool and then it's like, wait a minute, this player is not on that team anymore. We are, I mean, this is our full-time gig for, you know, going on most of the last decade, so I would say...
a lot of effort, a lot of time.
So we are in like the Braxton Hicks contraction.
Correct.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Because we're a week away.
Birth not yet happening.
Not yet. No, it's not ready.
But after, after it's born next week, it's only going to get better. It's going to grow. It's going to become your child.
We nurture it.
Yes.
That's right. Feed it.
It's like a Tamagotchi.
We've never done the baby
metaphor. I don't know, man. I'm grasping at straws. This analogy, it won't stop.
A Tamagotchi reference?
You got the half Ursula and the Tamagotchi? You're killing it over here.
Up. 1 week. 1 week from today. And I will say this. I'm really excited. For those of you that pre-ordered, you've had access to Dynasty and Rookie Rankings. If you got the UDK Plus, you've had access to a whole lot more of the Dynasty Pass. If you had wanted to upgrade to the UDK Plus, do it now. You'll get the prorated discounted price. And June 1st is when the app comes out. So you haven't had access to the 2021
brother.
App yet. Huge upgrades across the board. This thing looks, it's got a facelift. The functionality is improved, and you guys will love it. You can check all that out at ultimatedraftkit.com. You have the new rankings for the year are up on the website.
They are.
TheFantasyFootballers.com. All of our rankings are up there for 2021. And so that's pretty exciting. We'll have Explain Yourself shows next week where we will call one another out for their outlier rankings.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things about having the three of us. We don't always agree on players. And so where one of us disagrees heartily with the other two, we will take them to task and see who can change the opinion of the others, if possible.
Well, I'm going, 5-6 straight years of perfect ranking, so this will be your time to challenge me. YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballer. Subscribe, click the bell if you want to watch the show. Here's the quick question. It is a multi-flex question from J24Kilo. Says, how does your draft strategy change in leagues with additional flex spots? Not super flex leagues.
Right.
But just more flex starting spots.
Yeah, so assuming that you're not in the old-fashioned yet still referred to as standard leagues.
Mm, yes.
And really, I would actually say it includes standard as well. Certainly, though, half point and full point PPR. Wide receivers become much, much more valuable when you have multiple flex spots because, you know, at the very tip top of running back versus wide receiver, the running backs score more than the wide receivers do. Then the next 15 or so players at both positions, well, they score about the same. Maybe it's more consistent with running backs, bigger boom bust than wide receivers, but at the end, they're going to score about the same. Once you get past those top 20 players or so, and the further you go, you get down to wide receiver 36 versus running back 36.
Oh, yeah.
Wide receiver 45 versus running back 45. I mean, it's not even – you can't start a running back. You can't start one of – the running back 45, you start him and you're going to lose. So that's where in a multi-flex league, I think wide receivers just become far more important.
All right, let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league, presented by Sleeper.
The end of an era is coming. Julio Jones, not long for Atlanta. The trade rumors abounding.
I see it as the beginning of an era is about to begin. Andy, how dare you refer to Julio as being done?
Yeah, that makes so much sense because normally when like kind of iconic superstars change teams later in their career, mm-hmm. that's a birth.
Yeah, tell that to Randy Moss.
Go on.
Aaron Rodgers.
Soon, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I apologize if I'm not extremely excited about Julio leaving where he's produced robustly for fantasy players and finding a new home.
We went from rumors to the man himself saying, "No, I'm out of here." And when he was, we don't know how those tactics came about with the Shannon Sharp calling him while he was live on the air. I don't know if it was guerrilla tactics. I don't know if Julio realized that he was on the TV giving out trade secrets, but we heard directly from Julio Jones on a television program saying he is out of Atlanta. He wants to go to a winning franchise, and then they dunked on the Dallas Cowboys. That part was pretty funny. So what are our thoughts here on Julio Jones? Can his value possibly go up? Can it possibly tread water, or is it just going down?
It's just going down. I mean, I don't. I'm sitting here racking my brain of all the different destinations that are somewhat realistic. I would say there's about a third of the league that you could maybe make some kind of argument for, and there's really only about half of that third that is truly, you know, a team that seems like they would make an offer and go after him. And I can't see a situation where he would even stay the same, because staying the same for Julio with Matt Ryan in a passing offense that, you know, I think I've got Matt Ryan throwing for well over 5,000 yards this year in this new 17 game season.
Sure.
He's probably, if him and Ridley are on the field at the same time, probably still the one. That's just not a situation that you're going to go to.
There is one team. There's one team that I actually think this one season, year 32, that he could produce near the levels in Atlanta. And that's the team I think he's going to. Now, there are only six teams with $9 million of cap space, a need a wide receiver, and are considered a contender if you want to qualify it by the... I kind of find that one funny because he said, "I want to win," right?
Sure.
But "I want to win" also includes getting paid his full salary.
And a team willing to trade an asset for him, mm-hmm. and take on that salary. So let's go 1, 2, 3. And then you say where he's going to go.
Are we saying that the team, the last part of the name or what?
Yes.
Okay.
Not the city.
All right.
The team name. So 1, 2, 3.
Chargers. So Mike and I said the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we're willing it into existence. You get out of here with your Patriots stuff. The universe is rejecting that. Fantasy football is rejecting Julio Jones going to the Patriots.
The universe apparently follows 2/3 rule.
Yes.
Oh.
And, yeah, you didn't know that?
We should really vote on more stuff, guys.
So the Chargers is the name that Mike and I threw out. And that is the one place that I actually believe he could go.
I do too.
And see the same amount of value because of Justin Herbert, because of the passing volume, because of the fact that Keenan Allen is a possession receiver and Mike Williams is kind of a ghost at this point. He doesn't even really appear on the field for four quarters anymore. And they don't have anybody else. So that's the one place that I think makes a ton of sense. The other teams with $9 million in cap space in that category, Dave Richard tweeted this out, Washington, Indianapolis, the Chargers, San Francisco, Arizona, and Baltimore. I do think the Colts are in play. I do think Arizona's in play. I know that's outlandish, and I don't know if it was on this show that Jason brought it up, but if they somehow traded for Julio Jones and A.J. Green, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, they'd have to have Larry Fitzgerald come back just for comedic value.
But they have cap space. Baltimore.
Comedic value?
The comedic value of having Larry Fitzgerald, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, and Julio Jones and DeAndre Hopkins on the same team, but yet so it, just a couple years too late.
It's like when the stars of old, they always get together and make some type of movie.
Right, where, the Expendables 8.
Or like there was that Morgan Freeman one. I think they were robbing a bank.
You're going to need to be more specific than that Morgan Freeman one.
Robbing a bank. I threw it out there. Well, other older gentlemen with Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, I remember that movie.
I can't think of the name, though.
Nobody saw it. Nobody our age
saw it. Oh, well, yeah. People saw it. They're just 20 years older than us.
Is there an opportunity for fantasy players to, like, if he gets traded to the Chargers, for example.
Is that the name, Al? Going in style?
Yep.
Thank you.
Doesn't sound good.
They went out in style.
If he went to the...
Wait, is Hackman in that movie?
Oh,
R.I.P.
Michael Caine and Alan Arkin.
Mm. Oh, Arkin. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, sounds like a real treat. Is there a world where you could capitalize on the trade hype? Like, a trade happens, and then there is the unknown, right? If we think that the odds are that it's going to get worse when he plays...
I doubt it. I mean, you're bringing up one team where it is possible his value stays the same. I still would not say that his value stays the same. I think that the Chargers have a much better defense than the Falcons, and they will not be throwing for the same amount of yards. And Keenan Allen already has an established, relationship here. So it's just as likely that maybe he goes to the Baltimore Ravens and a tiny pie.
Our universe rejects that as well.
Sure, the universe can reject everything you want, but the problem is if for some reason it squeaks through the universe's attention, then it's bad. I mean, where you capitalize on the trade value is, oh, I've got a giant Baltimore Raven fan in my league and they just traded for Julio, but that's too much luck involved.
It's going to be... I mean, this might be the last year Julio has real fantasy value. Mm-hmm. 32 years old. Maybe right. It's the Colts. Maybe it's the Chargers. Maybe it's Washington.
And a team that trades for him, yeah, they have the salary this year, but I believe the dead cap in 2022 is around $2 million, a little bit north of that. So if it's the end for Julio Jones and a team makes the trade, they can then get out.
The Colts make a lot of sense. I tweeted that. I think that it would take T.Y. Hilton and Michael Pittman and take them from a bad 1-2 to a really good 2-3. And the cap situation is bad for Carson Wentz, but you can get out of Carson Wentz and you can get out of Julio. So take the experiment, see if you're a contender, and if not, move on quick.
I know we're talking about Julio a lot, but it brings to mind the fact that in our Dynasty League, I believe it was no more than like a year, year and a half ago, Jason, where you made a trade to acquire Julio Jones, and there was a lot of enthusiasm because they had just re-signed him to an extension. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I'm bringing that up just to say like the age of the extension really factors in. It's not as easy as just taking the amount of years they gave him and saying, well, Julio's locked in, because things change quick when you're older, when you miss half a year due to a hamstring injury. Like, I remember being jealous of you acquiring Julio in that situation.
I went from, I think it was T.Y. Hilton, to a little bit of move, got Julio, and then I went from Julio to CeeDee Lamb. Let's go! Yeah!
Well, plus yeah, you got out quick. You weren't left holding the bag. All right.
Speaking of holding the bag.
The price is a first rounder, by the way. So that is the price Atlanta would like.
So it will not be. So the Rams want him, but they're like, we're out.
Well, the problem is, you start the bidding, the trade value at a first round pick, but they have to their salary cap, and I know that the salary cap is a lie and all this stuff, but theirs is in a really really bad situation.
They can't sign their rookies right now.
Right.
Patriots are being reported to have had discussions about trading for him as well.
No.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, here it is.
Did not report to Lambeau Field on Monday morning for the start of voluntary OTAs.
And he usually does.
Well, he is not under, he doesn't have an extension yet.
Well,
and he hasn't been traded.
He's making a statement.
One of those two things is going to happen. Let's be clear about that. He's going to get paid more money and then show up smiling, or he's going to go somewhere else.
And then get paid more money. So either way, he's making a lot more money.
Yeah, so it's not in his, it's not good for him to show up right now.
Sure.
And Deshaun Watson will not attend OTAs.
Yeah.
Still wants to be traded. Nobody interested right now.
No,
yeah, not happening.
You know, he's denied wrongdoing with the lawsuits that have been filed against him. His position of wanting out of Houston has not changed. I don't think I've seen a power rankings for the 2021 season without Houston at 32 of 32 right now. And we don't know what to do with Deshaun Watson.
I can tell you, I personally, you know, we just finished all of our statting for the Ultimate Draft Kit. I did not give him a snap as a Houston Texan this season. What they've done with their quarterback signings and drafting, they are...
None of us did we?
No. I went with Taylor.
Yeah, so yeah, there is no Deshaun Watson in our rankings right now.
Did you throw any Driscoll in there?
I did not throw any...
Did you toss a little...
A splash of Driscoll, maybe a little rookie fever.
Arthur.
No. I did give the full season to Tyrod for now.
Okay. All right, any other news, Brooksy, that we need to talk about?
Nope.
All right, that was today's News Notes brought to you by Sleeper. Switch your league to the fastest-growing fantasy platform today. Very,
that was both the speed and the Sleeper.
We have a Dynasty download on the show today as well, so we'll be talking some Dynasty towards the end of the show. Right now, we're going to jump into the mailbag.
Mailbag.
I like it.
Jason did the last one.
He did one, yes. Yeah, he smashed it.
Thank you. For me.
It was pretty good for you.
It's a bell curve.
Right. We created a curve here.
If you have a question for the show, we want to help you out. Go to thefantasyfootballers.com. You can click the submit a question button or dial our voicemail hotline, 302-464-TFFB. We'll kick it off with a voicemail.
What's up, guys? It's Will from New Hampshire. No bonjour here, but I've got a keeper question. So I'm in a half PPR league, 10 teams. Who's the best keeper? Calvin Ridley in the fourth, A.J. Brown in the fifth, or Darren Waller in the sixth? Let me know what you guys think. Love the show. See ya.
Yeah, I'm going to take A.J. Brown in the fifth round.
Really?
What was the last one?
Darren Waller in the sixth.
Waller in the sixth. Oh, yeah, this is easy to me.
This one is easy to me as well. Because as per the discussion we just had, Julio Jones is going to be traded. And that makes it easy for me to go Calvin Ridley in the fourth.
I completely understand that. I think Calvin Ridley is going to be absolutely phenomenal. That being said, fourth round picks are still very valuable, and I think A.J. Brown is going to be phenomenal. This isn't like...
it's a 4-5, though. Like Calvin... Okay.
I have Calvin Ridley right now as my wide receiver 5.
Okay.
And A.J. Brown is my wide receiver 6. Now, I assume that Ridley will bump up, but I mean, that's... The four guys I got ahead of him, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, and DeAndre Hopkins, he can't go up that much.
It's like, to me, a 4-5, whatever. We're not talking a huge price difference. But to you, Jason, do you believe in the range of outcomes for this season, A.J. Brown can be the number one wide receiver?
Yes, I do.
I do, too.
But compare that to Calvin Ridley without Julio Jones.
Yeah, I'm not adjusting. Look, Ridley was incredible last year. I don't think the target share is going to go up a lot. What the real question is going to be...
No, but if you take what he did without Julio Jones... It doesn't need to go up. It's like he was averaging over 100 yards per game.
I have A.J. Brown ahead of Ridley today. Okay. So this is a very easy pick for me, and I have him 3 spots ahead. So I will go Brown here. I will say the discussion around Kyle Pitts is going to get real, real soon.
Yeah. How's that going, Jason?
It's going to suck, man. So I already did a little tweaking because I...
Oh, have you?
Well, today, based on the news, I don't think Julio Jones is going to be there, and so I wanted to adjust some of the stats in preparation. And I
was trying to get out in front of it.
Yes, I'm trying to be a good fantasy analyst.
I've had him there since before the trade.
No. But,
I'm changing his right now.
Yeah, he's my tight end six, and I. Whatever.
What? Look, if there's one thing Mike knows how to do, it's make your life miserable over the smallest difference of opinion.
Yeah, that's what we do here.
Yeah, that is kind of what we do. It's going to so you're going to go Calvin Ridley in the fourth. That's mm-hmm. fine. It's kind of a debate about the value of the fourth and fifth, the difference. And then to me, it's more of a heads up decision with the fourth and fifth. And I like Brown more, so I'll take Brown. I think Brown can go into the Davante Adams realm. I think that that's a real possibility. With the targets available in Tennessee, I think that he's in the argument for best dynasty wide receiver option to take.
He can't get to Adams level to me. Yes, there are a bunch of targets available for Tennessee, and A.J. Brown's target share is going to go up. But it's not going to – I don't think it turns into Davante Adams where it's 30% plus of Aaron Rodgers' targets where we – you just talked about it, that Matt Ryan, you've got him for well over – not well, but you have him for over 5,000 yards because Matt Ryan is the king of yardage. And – though if that's going to Calvin Ridley, that's where I would go.
It's just not it. I don't know if it's that much of a gap to make up. I mean, he's an 82 reception guy from week six on for 1,300 yards. So I don't. Can he get to 100 receptions? I think so.
Yeah, and
is that AJ Brown?
Yeah.
The difference here, like here, I'm pulling up just looking at what some value of the fourth round versus sixth round is.
Fifth round.
Right now, it was
Waller was the sixth. A.J. Brown was a five.
Okay, so you've got the difference between Julio, Amari Cooper, Chris Godwin, Robert Woods in the fourth. In the fifth, you've got Deontay Johnson, Cooper Kupp, Tyler Lockett. I would rather have one of those aforementioned guys with A.J. Brown than Deontay Johnson and Ridley.
Fair enough.
It's good either way.
You're stupid, but... Moving on. before we get to more questions, I want to thank today's sponsor. It's a new one, people. Codecademy. There's never been a better time to become a programmer. And with Codecademy, you can learn to code on your own terms. Simply put, Codecademy is the best way to learn code online. They not only teach you job-ready coding skills, but also help you build unique projects with your portfolio, earn certificates, and even prep for technical interviews. It reminds me of a conversation I was having with my wife, and it's like, what skills do we need to make sure that our kids have?
Oh, yeah.
And my number one answer was, they need to know how to code.
100%.
Like, it doesn't matter what occupation you are in. If you know how to code, like if you can learn Python, HTML, JavaScript.
It helps you think, too.
Yes.
I mean, it's the way the
it
world
helps
works.
Train your brain. And Codecademy is the way to get there. Tools, cheat sheets to help get the ideas, tailor-made quizzes. This is the best way to learn how to code, and coding is something that can take you to another level. If you're at a job you don't like, learn how to code. You're at a job that you do like, learn how to code. It's going to make things better. Join the millions of people learning to code with Codecademy and see where coding can take you. Get 15% off your Codecademy Pro membership. When you go to Codecademy.com, use the promo code BALLERS. That's promo code BALLERS at Codecademy.com to get 15% off Codecademy Pro, the best way to learn. Codecademy.com, promo code BALLERS.
And Foot Clan, we want to thank Meat for being
Did you
meat.
Say meat?
Yes, meat. M-E-A-T. We want to thank it for being delicious and wonderful. And I get my meat from Omaha Steaks, and you do too because you've listened for a long time. And you know that this time of year, Omaha Steaks is hitting us up.
When Omaha's on the show, you know that it's time.
Oh, Father's Day's right around the corner. You know you've got the Get Out and Grill assortment package that is finally around and ready. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to omahasteaks.com. You're going to type footballers in the search bar, and you're going to get that Get Out and Grill assortment. It's going to give you 20 entrees guaranteed that your dad will love, like ultra juicy burgers, pump chicken breasts, sides, desserts, 4 10-ounce butcher's cut New York strips. These strips are aged 30 days. Why is that important? Age equals tenderness. Yeah. Plus 4 free New York strip burgers with your order. Look, it's the best steak of your life. And the nice thing is when you give this as a gift, it's going to be shared with you. It's a pro move.
It's a gift to yourself.
Visit OmahaSteaks.com. Keyword footballers. Order the Get Out and Grill assortment today. Send Dad more than just a gift. Send him an experience he'll love that he could share with you. And don't forget, right now for a limited time, you get 4 free New York Strip burgers with your order. That's OmahaSteaks.com. Keyword footballers.
All right. Simple question from YouTube. Dead Waves wants to know, what is Kenny Galladay's ceiling?
I think Kenny Galladay's ceiling is still a top 12 wide receiver. I don't think he has the ability to, you know, we just had the question with Ridley and AJ Brown. Could he be the number one? No. Daniel Jones can't support that. There's a lot of mouths to feed there versus, you know, AJ Brown is pretty much by himself. So, but I do think that there is a world. I don't have this projected. I don't have him statted out for 150 targets, but if he were to become the alpha target volume guy, then his ceiling is phenomenal because he's good at what Daniel Jones does. He's a great wide receiver in general.
He's good at fumbling?
Very nice.
Touché.
I like what you did. But the deep ball. Daniel Jones could throw a decent deep ball. And, you know, the reality is, when you have a question that's just about someone's ceiling, it sounds rosy. I don't expect him to hit his ceiling.
Wide receiver 10, okay. I think.
Sure.
When you're that big and you've led the league in touchdowns at the position before, sure.
When you're that big and a team has given you that much money, I do have him over the 150 target threshold.
Really?
Yeah, he's my wide receiver 12 right now.
If Daniel Jones wants a chance to succeed, he better do that.
Yes.
Austin Eckler question. From YouTube, Nick wants to know, in a PPR league, how high is too high to draft Austin Eckler?
Oh, man.
Should I be picking Tyreek Hill and Stephon Diggs over him if they are on the board?
Ooh.
I mean, that is the dilemma, right? When you get towards full PPR, you get towards the end of the first round.
Man, I think I would take Eckler.
Austin Eckler, just for some context, when he returned, he played from weeks 12 through 17 last year, coming back from injury. His target pace was 136 targets.
Oh, brother.
104 receptions, 733 receiving yards, and 5.7 touchdowns.
Receiving only, right?
That's all receiving only. There is not a world that I can see or a player on this team that is going to threaten Austin Eckler. The only thing that will threaten him will be his own health. And bad fortune, if he's out there, he's probably a steal.
The offensive line for the Chargers was one of the worst lines in the league last year, and they have invested as much or more than any other team in the NFL this season. They've upgraded their center drastically, which always helps the running back a lot. I have Austin Eckler as my running back 9 right now in half point. I'm sure even higher in full PPR. I have no problem drafting Austin Eckler even ahead of Stephon Diggs, who's my running or my wide receiver 3. Now, if this is, you say full PPR, if it's a 3 wide receiver, 2 running back league, then you're going to want that depth at wide receiver or multiple flex.
Sure.
Then, you know, I would take that tip top wide receiver over him. But otherwise, if it's 2 running back, 2 wide receiver, and a flex, and it's half or this is full PPR, I'm still willing to take Austin Eckler there.
All right. Instagram question from Anthony Castilla. Can we be friends?
Oh, yes, we can be friends.
What, we're not?
I thought
this question insinuates that right now, actively, we are not friends.
Yeah, because you don't
ask
a
friend. Are you guys fighting right now?
No.
You guys and Anthony?
I didn't think so.
I didn't know we were, but I think we must be. It's really, you don't ask a friend if you can be friends. It's just not something you do.
So friendship retracted.
Oh, now the answer is no.
Well, that's what I mean. The current friendship has now been retracted, but do you offer a new friendship contract?
Yeah, I'm taking my left hand back, but I'm extending my right. I'm saying nice to meet you again. Come be my friend.
That was a quick, you went full circle.
That's well
with
yeah,
Anthony.
That's right. Full circle. 360. So that I turned my back on him, but here I am again. I'm right back there because it was just a 180, you know, it wasn't a 180. Two of them. So we are.
Two of those. As they call it in the biz, two 180s.
And remember when Tony Hawk did that double 180?
Yeah. Pretty sweet double 180, man.
Oh, so
you do 4 180s? That's crazy.
So you're friends again.
Yeah, we're friends
That's what I got. All right. YouTube question, running back question. Who is the last running back that you would feel comfortable starting as your RB1? So is Eckler in that discussion?
Eckler, I would be absolutely comfortable starting him as my running back one. For me, I think the one that I would be comfortable with as my RB1, the lowest on my rankings, would be Antonio Gibson. I am a believer in him as a running back one this year. I think he gets the workload that he started to get before his toe injury at the end of the season. That's how I'm projecting the Washington football team. And while I would love to have a better running back than him, I'm still comfortable with him being my first running back.
I will answer it slightly different with the first one that I'm not comfortable with, which would be DeAndre Swift. I am not comfortable with DeAndre Swift as my running back one. Gibson, I'm with you. I'm comfortable there.
Do you know who I have?
Eckler. I'm comfortable with Josh Jacobs as my running back one.
Well, I disagree with that. I'm looking at my rankings. The running back I have right after Antonio Gibson is DeAndre Swift. So we have the same cutoff line between those two.
Of my list, I really like most of the guys in my top 20. And I mean, you're balancing your opportunity cost because you're saying if this person is my running back one, I have Travis Kelce. I have elite wide receivers. So I would be willing to go down to someone like Chris Carson as my running back one to pair with a powerhouse at the other positions.
All right. Twitter question from Brandon. What is your preferred best ball strategy going into the season? I know we have some news on that front, Mike. The best ball front.
We do have some news on the best ball front. Number one, it's a very fun format. If you've never played it, and essentially what it is
super fun format.
Thank you, Jason.
You're welcome.
You draft, and then the computer puts in your best optimal lineup every single week. Once you draft, you are done. Thank you, computer. And I know Sleeper's adding it, and there's some other places that you can play as well. And if you are going to play, boom, we have best ball rankings that are coming into the UDK Plus. They will be supplied by our DFS pros. Kyle the Borgogan and Matthew Betts are our PT, our football PT here. And so if
they host the DFS pod.
They also host the DFS pod. So if you want access to those, the UDK Plus, which is at the lowest possible price right now.
I would also piggyback with talking about what they do with best ball and say if you want some really good best ball tips, go listen to the Fantasy Footballers DFS pod that covers best ball because your question – has a bunch of
nuances
and stuff like that. I'll throw out one little tip. I really, 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 really want mobile quarterbacks in best ball. I mean, I do in both formats, but when you've got multiple quarterbacks, you want those monstrous games because you have to win the whole league. And those monstrous, huge, gigantic blow-up 40-point games usually come from someone who can run the ball.
And we're getting a lot more of those players now. It's wild when you look at the – especially the incoming crop. We just added Trey Lance and Justin Fields, very mobile guys. And Trevor Lawrence is no slouch when it comes to getting you some rushing
yards. If Taysom Hill wins the job, Jalen Hurts.
Kyler, Lamar, Josh Allen, Dak, Russ to a lesser extent.
So apparently
extent
I just
now,
want a quarterback.
I'm just saying that we're going to have to reevaluate the quarterback position, especially once this new crop establishes that they're in play for fantasy, because no longer will it be, well, just wait, because at the ninth round, there's this very mobile quarterback who is going to give you an incredible floor and an incredible ceiling. Last year, it was easily Josh Allen. A couple years ago, you're like, Lamar Jackson is just not being drafted, and you're not paying attention to what his ceiling can be because of the scoring discrepancy. Just throwing out that we have a change coming here to how we should be valuing a quarterback, because now the group is so condensed. No longer is it clearly just two guys at the top with that upside.
All right, Instagram question. How many players on your fantasy team is too many from the same NFL team?
Depends on the team, my man. I mean, I would say two from the Jets. I would say that's too many for me.
Yeah, one. One,
one from the Jets is too many for me. Sorry, Jets fans. I'm really just jabbing you there. If you're a great team, I can have three on a team. If you're a prolific offense, and I've got three players from your team,
what about four?
I
don't want Clyde, Mahomes, Kelce, and Tyreek Hill.
I don't think I would want, if I had that, like, let's say I somehow left the draft with that, I'd be very happy, but I would be looking to move, you know, Clyde for a different running back or one of those pieces. That's just...
Yeah, you're losing when the Chiefs are shut down. You're guaranteed to lose if your quantity is so high on one team.
Yeah, and I will say this. In years past, there's been debate over, obviously, the advantage of stacking a quarterback and a wide receiver, quarterback and a pass catcher, really. It could be a pass mm-hmm. catching running back. That is a great, great strategy. I love doing it, but it has taught people that putting a wide receiver or a pass catcher and a running back on the same team is not good. And for redraft, that's not true. You get more consistency. You just can't both score a touchdown on the same play. And that over the course of the year, if they're both good players, you're going to be consistent and still win.
I was told a quarterback cannot throw a passing touchdown and receiving touchdown on the same play. And then Marcus Mariota proved you wrong.
That is fair. He did do that. That was awesome.
His highlight.
Yes.
As a professional.
Truly the pinnacle of his career.
That has to be the highest scoring play of all time, right? When you can...
For a single play?
You get a receiving touchdown and a passing touchdown. Maybe. The yardage. I think it was only
it was
7 yards,
short,
though.
Yeah.
Dynasty running back this or that question. Gulp.
Big gulps?
Instagram. W. Drake Hill asks this difficult one, in my opinion. Joe Mixon. Mm-hmm. Or Aaron Jones?
In a dynasty?
Correct.
Oh, man. That is very difficult. I want it.
They're both on the same contract situation, same age.
No.
No?
Aaron Jones is much older.
2 years.
In running back years.
Sure. No, I'm agreeing with you.
In running back years, that's a lot older.
I will take Joe Mixon.
Oh, man. I feel like
but
I...
But you knew that already.
I feel like I have Aaron Jones higher in my rankings, but... Because I think that the way that Aaron Jones plays, and it's not a grinding him into the ground. It's more like Alvin Kamara. So I think he has an extended shelf life in the NFL.
How's his shelf life without Rodgers?
But if Aaron Rodgers is gone, his scoring opportunities are going to plummet. He's still going to be a great player and good for fantasy, but he's not going to be scoring 13 rushing touchdowns.
I have Mixon in redraft ahead of Aaron Jones right now. There's no question mark about his quarterback leaving. And he's 2 years younger. So for me, it's an easy Mixon. But then you think I'm super disrespectful to Aaron Jones usually. So
yes, I do normally think that, yes.
What is the current status in your mind of Aaron Rodgers? If you had to handicap it today, Tuesday, May 25th, Aaron Rodgers' percentage chance of returning to Green Bay?
I would say 35% chance returning, 65% chance leaving.
Wow, Mike?
I don't even know which side you're surprised about. Like, am I too high or too low?
I am much higher that he's going to leave. I would say...
Higher than 65%.
Yeah. I would go as, like, 75% chance he's gone.
I think he stays.
Oh, well, that'd be nice.
But I want that percentage
60,
of your
40.
Mind. 60-40.
Okay. No. No, let's go 45.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Al Borland. You're on the microphone, right?
Yep.
And you're a fan of the Green Bay Packers?
Yes, sir.
Are you happy with my prediction?
Yes.
So you would like him to return?
Yeah.
Have you moved past the... Like, I know there's a lot of stages of grief and things of that nature. There was a time when you kind of wanted him to move on if he didn't want to be there. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah.
I don't... When was there a time you wanted him to move on? That
what I said was that if he didn't want to play there, I'd rather see him go.
Yeah, he was being...
Oh, for him, for his dumb. Sake. Yeah. You were doing this for Aaron? It was very noble.
No, he's doing it for... He's just saying that he doesn't want the locker room cancer of a quarterback Hall of Famer that doesn't want to be there.
The cancer of Aaron Rodgers in the locker room would win you more games.
He didn't want to be there last year. If things went all right. Due to it being Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, so I just want to point out that the Packers fan is happy with a 55% chance of Aaron Rodgers coming back to the team. That's the place we are at
right
now.
Well, it's the best option he got from the three of us.
Yeah.
You two are like shipping him down the...
I'm not shipping him. I'm just... Aaron Rodgers is a... I think he's a stubborn man.
He's definitely someone who would retire. If he digs his heels in and says, I'm not playing for you, unless you fire the GM and they don't do that, and he just goes on, then I retire.
I still believe this is about respect, and I think respect is often shown in cold hard cash in this business.
That's really why I feel so disrespected from this job.
Right. And so I think that that respect will materialize financially.
To Blake Bortles.
I think he stays.
All right.
Make my job easier. Projecting these Green Bay Packers.
It's better for football that I believe that he's in Green Bay.
Yeah, 100%. Green Bay's a great franchise that is fun to be good, and I hope he's back. I just don't think
so. And no one else can put up those numbers in the snow. We need Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, I guess it's good for the Cardinals. Easier path through the NFC if Aaron's in the AFC.
Yeah, and we play the Packers this year, so retire, Aaron. Mm.
I've changed my percentage. All right, here's the question that we will not agree on. Najee in a dynasty startup draft. Maybe we will. Instagram question from Logan. When is the earliest that you would draft Najee Harris in a dynasty startup draft? So all the rookies mixing in with the veterans, brand new draft. What's the earliest you would take Najee?
Well, let's go with the Najeeist of the three of us, which Mike and I are both big Najee fans. But Mike...
He's the Najeeist?
I've never been called Najeeist.
It won't be the last time. All right. That's a promise from me to you.
Okay.
So where would you go? What's the highest?
So I have Najee at 10 for my running back rankings. So if I'm in a startup and the wide receivers are there, I mean, maybe back of the second, maybe. I mean, it's hard. I don't want to run through every single name I would take in front of him, but I would be aggressive. He's older for a prospect coming into the league for running back, 23. But I think you get a full, 5 years,
full rookie contract,
first rounder. So he'll have the first round extension. So I look at Najee as a 5 year starter.
Yeah, where I've got him in my startup rankings would put him in the third round. So I think there's probably 24 players I would prefer over him. I can't imagine him getting into my top 24 yet, but I mean, look, if he hits and is an awesome, fantastic rookie who gets 5 years, that's all you get from anybody. Like the age kind of matters, right? We just had the question on Aaron Jones and Joe Mixon. And so now years later, they're both getting their second contract, but one appears to have more shelf life, but is pretty irrelevant. They're probably going to have the same amount of years. 5 years from a running back, if you get that, is great.
That would be outstanding, yes.
Are you drafting him ahead of DeAndre Swift in a dynasty startup draft?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not as bullish because he hasn't done it. And neither has, last year was the same story. Clyde Edwards-Helaire looked guaranteed. DeAndre Swift looked guaranteed. Going into the NFL, I don't think I'm willing to invest a second-round pick on somebody that hasn't done it.
But and your reference here to last year's rookie, almost every last season's rookie, J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift, they're all younger than Najee, who is a this year's rookie.
So, that's why I asked the question.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I asked about DeAndre Swift in particular, because it's kind of like I just think it's very tempting when you haven't seen it to only see good.
Certainly. I mean, I see that with the Pitts and Ja'Marr Chase conversations we've had. Yeah.
Well, now you're just talking crazy.
I mean, with rookies, you have to pick which side you're in. Are you willing to pay that price? Do you believe in the player that much? And I do believe in Najee.
The big thing about Najee to me is that he wasn't a top 10 NFL draft pick. If he had been in that category, you have a little bit more of a historical basis for him to be a guarantee. He is more in he's drafted where the Rashad Pennies and the Sonny Michels and some of the guys from last year, even Clyde, late first round, not a guarantee, even though we thought he was. Percentage chance, I think he's successful, 80%. But I don't know what that's going to mean with a transition at quarterback. Do you lose, you said a 5 year window, do you lose 2 years of efficiency because you're.
Yes, of course you do.
Because you don't have Big Ben.
Yeah. I mean, unless you are, one of two franchises ever, or the aforementioned Green Bay or the Colts, who go from, Hall of Fame caliber quarterback to a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, you're gonna lose some offense.
Yeah. All right, let's do some Dynasty.
Dynasty Download.
What? Why are you guys encroaching on my...
I don't know.
I
don't want any part of that.
In that graphic, it was me and my champion. Like, he had been cloned many times over, which, imagine the NFL if Antonio Gibson was just on every single team. It would be incredible. And then all of a sudden, you guys just come flying out of the corner. What was that all about?
I have no interest in
we
being a part of that.
We don't make the graphics here.
Clearly.
Well, I want you out.
It's getting a little scary, a little frightening. It's a lot of Antonio Gibson. I don't know. Twitter question. Dynasty question from Mikey says, it's my first year as a dynasty commissioner. What are some staple rules, regulations that should be a part of any dynasty league? A lot of players, new leagues. What do you think?
So I know one of the things we do in our league, we have an in-season and an off-season FAB. So we use the free agent acquisition budget system, not a waiver wire system of just waiver priority, but you get to bid on players. And so we reset it for both the off-season and the in-season so that you can make transactions in the off-season, spend budget.
Because in Dynasty, the off-season is its own entity. It is not part of the regular season, so everyone gets reset as soon as the champion is crowned, and everyone gets reset as soon as essentially all the players are locked from week one. I think that's really important. Establish when are you going to have your rookie draft. We do our rookie draft right after the NFL draft. There are people who do it way before, and there are people who want more information, so they wait. They do their rookie draft
in August or
when
the
people are doing
season.
Their redrafts.
Determine how many years of rookie picks you'll make available to trade.
Mm-hmm.
When we roll over to the new rookie draft, we always have 3 years of available first rounders.
Yeah, and
it's always a bright new day when I have a, 2024 rookie pick to ship off.
We rarely trade our three-year-out picks. It happens from time to time.
I've tried.
But, yeah, I mean,
they don't have much value.
It doesn't have much value, yeah.
And, look, it's Dynasty. When you start it, it's beautiful. Everyone is in. They're all in it to win it. I'm in this league forever. Things happen. Maybe gauge some interest of in case there's a backup list that you want to get going. You don't have to do that from day one, but just that's something you should be
a waiting list for
future managers to jump in if they need to.
And if you're starting a new league, I don't know if it's already established or not, but I know what we've done in the past for some of our leagues is so let's say you want to end at like a 30 player roster or something like that. What we did is we drafted 26 players, and then the first rookie draft we had, we expanded it so you didn't have to drop players. But then subsequently, once you get to that number, then we just basically, however many rookie picks you have coming in, you have to cut that many players from your roster to make room.
In case you missed it, we did do Dynasty Week, a couple of shows that you can check out, high risk, high reward players. Was a live stream. That was a live stream we did on YouTube. So there are some videos you can watch on our YouTube from a couple weeks back.
Oh, I've got another really important staple. If you're in a dynasty, don't do kickers. That's it. That was the staple. Just don't do kickers. But if you want to do redraft, I would get rid of them as well.
Yeah.
I love not having defense as well in dynasty.
See, you know, it's funny you say that. I've heard a lot of people say every dynasty league I've been in, I've gotten rid of defenses, but I feel like I want it, but I'm not.
You don't.
You don't think so?
No, I've had defense in Dynasty.
You feel like you miss defenses?
I do. I do. Now, but here's the thing, right? You don't know because all of the leagues I'm in don't have them. So it's one of those things where it's like you want what you don't have, but then when I get it, I'll be like, this sucks.
I'm helping you over here as your friend. You don't want that.
A lot of extra flex, though.
We want to thank Pristine Auction, don't we, Mike?
We do.
Brandon Ayuk signed NFL football.
Ayukin!
$20 right now, ends on Thursday night. I'm a little low on Brandon Ayuk. I need to raise him up a little bit.
I think you should.
It's very the 49ers are difficult. If everybody's healthy, I know what they want to do. I know what they want to do with the offense. I know it revolves around Kittle and Debo ahead of Ayuk. But then you really need to factor whether he's going to be available.
I believe it's Ayuk ahead of Debo.
Well, no, it's not from Kyle Shanahan's perspective. It is when he's hurt.
Well, but when they were both on the field at the same time last year, which we didn't have a ton of games, but you had a handful.
Debo Samuel got hurt in the very beginning of the game he returned, and they were all going his way. And he was on record of that game saying the game plan was built around Debo. That's what I believe.
We haven't seen the 49er offense really unleashed with those two wide receivers and George Kittle. We haven't seen that for an extended period of time. And
we may not.
Who's the quarterback?
Yeah, we might not see it.
We don't know.
But anyways, I'm too low on Ayuk. I admit that. I need to probably count. Like, Debo's one of the few players I should probably not think of 17 games as a realistic possibility. Davante Adams signed jersey right now, $20. That's the current price. Ends on Thursday. Check out pristineauction.com. Use our code BALLERS, and you'll get a $10 credit. That'll do it, Brooks. What's our Thursday show?
We're talking about ultimate draft tips.
Oh, yeah. That'll be fun. Yeah.
Take care, Folklane.
We'll see you next time, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FF Ballers.
This episode was brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Go to omahasteaks.com, use the code FOOTBALLERS in the search bar, and for a limited time, you're going to get 4 free New York strip burgers with your order. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword FOOTBALLERS.